Going to think about that Curtis Mayfield song, and you might want to say to me, well, look, you're supposed to be preaching from the Word of God, and I assure you I will be. I wonder how much value, though, we give to what it says in this book. We can read it and read it and read it and yet take absolutely no notice of it. And that's bad. It's just something that will kill you rather than give you life. But to read it with open hearts and with the Spirit of God makes all the difference. I've got on there a little scripture that... Can you read it? Can you see it? Mark 1:15. Let's read it together. It's one of the first things Jesus said when he began his ministry. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. People, get ready. And later on he says, get on board. Two things, repent and believe. So this song that Curtis Mayfield wrote in 1965, it was a good year. It was the year that Jenny and I got married. We were only children. Or we were a man and a woman. We were over 20. Well, no, Jen wasn't over 21. Those were the days. Now they don't get married at all. Well, that's gone wrong. People, get ready. 1965, it was a good year. I thought he'd written that earlier, but Curtis Mayfield was in a group then called the Imperials. Is that right? I think that's the name of them. And it's amazing how it's lasted. I heard several people say, oh, I love that song. But what it says is really challenging. It's saying, look, there's a train coming, get on board or else. You know, it says there's no room for the hopeless sinner. All he wants to do, she wants to do, is save her own soul, no matter how much she hurts or he hurts anyone else. The words are profound. I'm going to read them to you. But first, I just want to remind you that the Apostle Paul, when he preached in Athens to Greeks, not to Jews, he said, in him, talking about God, in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we're his offspring. He quoted the poets of the area as a foundation to explain how to get to know God and be saved, forgiven, to receive the good news. And that's what I'm doing. I doubt if you read Acts 17, Paul's message was only 3 minutes. That's all it takes you to read it. I'm sure he embellished it and there are other things, and he might well have talked about those poets. Because when you think of Curtis Mayfield as a young man, if you've read about him, he started in church. They started writing songs in church. They formed a group while in church. And the funny thing is, in 1962, I did the same. And it must have been parallel. Although we tended to feel the pressure of the church, oh, guitars, oh, modern music. But fortunately, we were in a church that was more outgoing and encouraged us. So we moved from singing four-part harmonies. Two or three of them were really good at that and helped me. But then we moved to folk music and began to sing very similar songs to those that Curtis Mayfield and his friends were singing. And obviously over a period of a few years, he ended up with the group he made most of his music with until he left it. did you know that he took an old gospel song called Amen and made a hit record of it? It's one of his favourites. You know, Amen, Amen, see the little baby lying in the manger, Amen. He rocked it up. It's a good one. Could sing that at Christmas, I suppose, couldn't you? But he got his influence from church things. And it does seem with a song like People Get Ready that he had a real faith to write such words. People get ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready, there's a train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors, board them. There's hope for all among those loved the most. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. There's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. Yes, strong stuff, isn't it? So people get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. I've been singing that and trying to play it for years. And this point in my life, this decade, you know, I'm trying to learn keyboard just to keep my mind awake. And I'm trying to play this one. But you really need to sing it as well, don't you? And I struggle. Jenny said to me the other day, I had earphones on because I don't like anyone hearing what I'm playing. And I was singing. She said, stop growling. Well, I was. Did you know that Rolling Stone magazine, in a poll they did a little while back, worked out that People Get Ready is the 24th greatest song, you know, pop song, modern song, of all time? 24th. And it's a gospel song. Tells people, if you don't watch it, you're finished. If you don't get on board, there's nothing else. It's saying the basic gospel, like Jesus, repent and believe. It's saying that stuff, isn't it? So, okay, it's a pretty tune. And it reminds me that Ezekiel, who had heavy stuff to say to the people of Israel, God said to him, well, at best, you'll just sound like a sweet singer of love songs. Sometimes people, they hear, but they don't actually let it in. And that's the challenge for the new year. Is, are we really Christians? Have we really heard what was said? Get on board. Get ready. That's one thing. But you've got to get on board too, haven't you? That's repent, believe. A lot of people start repenting and feeling guilty and trying to get their lives right, but they forget that the real thing is faith. And getting on board. And the train is Jesus. Or at least he's the driver, isn't he? We'll think about that. In the 500 songs that shape rock and roll, People Get Ready is in there. In the 500 songs. And there must be a million of them now, mustn't there? But there's 500 songs they've selected that have shaped rock and roll. It's there. And in Mojo Music Magazine, it's in the first 10. People Get Ready's put in the Grammy Hall of Fame as a great song in 1998. And then in 2016... People Get Ready was preserved in the National Recording Registry. Sadly, Curtis Mayfield hasn't been able to see the success, or most of that success, because he died in 1999 of type 2 diabetes. He's just 57. So I hope he was ready and he took notice of the words that he had written. But for us today, I want to take that message and bring it into the gospel, bring it into the word of God, and just talk for a little while about what the gospel is. What is it? What do we have to get ready about? What is it that is needed to be done? Because the song doesn't give all that. It just appeals, doesn't it? It says, come on, get ready. The kingdom of God is on its way. And of course, you will pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done, where? On earth. And you know, if we're not careful, we think of that as being outside of ourselves. We want your will done in Tidcote and Long Sutton and Sutton Bridge. We want your will done in those places. But the point is, where are you living? Where am I living? Where are we? On earth. So it's got to be done in here, hasn't it? And if we don't want God's will done in here, it's a waste of our time hoping that he's going to extend his kingdom out there. So faith, all you need is faith. Faith is always connected to obedience. I know there's a great big argument in the Christian world about how much you or I have to do to get saved. For example, you can't save yourself. You can't come to God unless he calls you. And salvation belongs to God. I sincerely believe those things. But sometimes people get the impression they have to sit there and wait until some lightning thing strikes them. But Curtis Mayfield's right. People get ready. Are you ready? Other things which happen in the world and in your life stirring you to be ready. Ready for what? Well, train's coming. Bob Dylan wrote Slow Train Coming and talked about the judgment of God. But really, Mayfield is talking about the fact that be ready for when the train is coming through the station. I wonder if some of you have been to the States and Canada, haven't you? Do the trains actually stop or do they trickle through slowly so you've got to get through the doors while it's still moving or something? Because that's the picture I get here. And when you get on board a train, who's driving it? You? You've all been on planes and trains and boats. Who's in charge once you get on board? The pilot, the captain, the engineer, the driver. Do we get that? Do we get the fact that if we're Christians, we've got on board and we're not steering our own lives anymore? It's not up to us. We don't have to have strong opinions. We need God opinions because he's going in a direction and we're in that. And it's really awful that the church seems to have created hang-on back track things trying to uncouple from God because they don't like the way he's going. We don't approve of what he says. We don't approve of judgment. We've tried to change it. We try to say, well, everybody's saved. Jesus died for them. He loves us. Don't preach a gospel that says you're going to go to hell if you don't believe. But if you're not on board, you're not on board. And sometimes as Christians, we try to get off. Get on board. Now, if you just pick that up this year, that all the worries and anxieties that happen in life, the money fears, the debts, the worries about children and relatives, if you just realise afresh, I'm on board and God is my security. He's the driver and I'm on his plane, train, boat, whichever you prefer. Incidentally, the booklet that we produce for you to read or for new people to read, because you've probably seen it, it's called Get On Board. Get On Board. It's not just about changing your mind. It's not just about being sad about your sin. It's about seeing the solution, which is Jesus. Get on board to know him, to trust him. And I think the picture is good because you think, well, I couldn't possibly live for God. I haven't got the strength. I'm a sinner. I've messed my life up. But once you're on board, you're going in God's direction and it's God's power and it's God's energy that take you along. That's how I see it. But why do we need to get on board? Why have we got to get ready? What's wrong with us? We're nice people. Keep our houses nice, wash up. Keep the toilet clean. Use deodorant, wash our hair. We're nice people. Why have we got to get ready? Why is God going to judge me? Well, you're not meant to blame anyone but yourself, but here you can. It's all Adam's fault. It's all his fault. If you read Romans chapter 5, we're told, by one man's disobedience, sin and death came into the world. And we all inherit those two things. Everyone is born to die, and everyone that's born is born with a sinful nature. Now, if you don't believe that, that's one of the things. There's a lot of people in the back part of the train now, and they're going to uncouple one day because they say, no, we're not. We're not born in sin. Every human being born is a potential Jesus and can save the world if only we find one of them. But that's a blasphemy because we've already got the Saviour, haven't we? But that's how people think. The hope is in having another child born that never sins, that can overcome and have all those raises of lost art powers and so on. But it's Adam's fault. We are children of Adam. And anyone that's brought up children knows that you didn't have to teach them to tell lies or to disobey you. We spend all our time teaching them to do good things, don't we? Now, why is that? And I want you to stop and do a double take. When Mary was bringing up Jesus, was he like that? Did he have to be taught not to tell lies? Did he have to be taught not to be disobedient? Did he need a good slap leg? Oh, you're not allowed to do that anymore. I think you're saying, well, no, of course not. But don't you find that miraculous? Don't you think that's amazing that a child actually born never needing to be corrected? In fact, it might have been a bit difficult for Mary that the son was rebuking the mother for the time when she had a bad temper and kicked the cat or something. When, just before Jesus said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. Just before that, he had been baptized. And when he was baptized, there was a voice from heaven that people heard, and it said, this is my lovely son. This is the son I love. I'm well pleased with him. And that gives us God's okay, God's vindication of Jesus' life for the first 30 years. That God said he's everything that I am, that's God is, everything that a man or woman should be. No sin in him. And that's the amazing thing, isn't it? Romans chapter 5, it does say, well, blame Adam. He sinned, he disobeyed God and brought all this into the world, all this stuff, the suffering, death itself. It's a horrible thing. Satan can really hold it over us, the fear of death. But then it goes on and says, but by one man's obedience, many can and will be made righteous. So we could ask another question. How ever can I be made righteous? Because that word, righteous, is a word that describes God. Holy and righteous is his name. How can I be right with God? How can I be seen as though I'm Jesus? It's not possible, surely. Surely. Stop calling me Shirley. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Surely we can't be. How can I be right with God? How can God look at me and say, you're just like my son Jesus? How can he say, Look, my beloved daughter, I'm well pleased with her. My beloved son, I'm well pleased with him. But he does. If you have repented and believed the good news, and this is the good news, the thing I'm telling you, then you get on board and God says, "Ah, you're just like Jesus," because we are inside the train. And I used to love watching trains. My dad was a railway guard and he worked on the railway. And often I would go down to a station and I loved to watch these mighty steam engines go belting through Enfield Lock Station. There may well have been people inside the train as it's whizzing by, but they're in the train. They're part of the train. They're going where the train is going. And anyone gets off, they're very stupid. It's very dangerous. And that's like us. We are in the train. It's a simple analogy of what God does for those who truly believe. And so the question that Jesus would ask of the Israelites, the Jews, are you on that train? Have you repented and believed? Because if you haven't, why not? Zacchaeus did, and he was a really naughty man. Mary Magdalene did, and she was a really naughty woman. Peter did, and he was a pain. Bit of a big head before he really got saved. Judas didn't. How do I know Judas didn't really get on board, even though he walked and followed Jesus? He did something terrible, didn't he? He betrayed Jesus. He sold Jesus. And then, rather than go like Peter did and say, "I'm really sorry, Lord," he killed himself. He just couldn't face himself. That's the problem with repentance. You can spend all your life feeling bad about yourself and feeling bad about the things you've done and feeling bad that your memories are still there. But that is no good on its own. Jesus didn't say repent. He said repent and believe the good news that you don't have to feel like that anymore because I've taken your sin away and you can be with me forever. Get on board. All you need is faith. And that's a marvellous thing. That is good news for those who are repenting and sad and troubled about their sin. I watched a Christian film the other day, and it was echoing the conversion of Paul, you know, Saul to Paul. But really it was a college film about young people, church people against the worldly. And this guy who really... Well, he was very bad. There was the church they went to, there was a statue of Christ outside, and he and his mates smashed it up. Another time, they got spray paints and sprayed stuff all over the church wall. But he did lots of other things, and he gets in a car accident, and in the car accident, all his past comes before him. And a voice is telling him, "You just got to stop doing this." And so he comes out of this coma or death, whatever happened, and he wants to change. And he's asking, "How can I stop doing these things?" And he prays and he reads his Bible again. He's got Christian parents. It's all a bit obvious, really. But the point is, this film didn't ever get him beyond repentance. And I was shocked by that. That he was going around saying, "I feel so bad, what can I do?" And this was good. He said, "Well, if you feel bad, then put it right." He'd stolen from his sister. He could put that right and give the money back. He stole from his place of work. He could put that right. He could go and see the pastor and say, "I'm really sorry for what I've done. How can I put that right?" And I think sometimes we as Christians forget there's an element of putting right what we've done wrong. Some things you can't and you have to leave with God. But other things you can. But that's not what it's about. You can put everything right in your life, if possible, in your human strength. But if you've not got on board, what's the point of it? You're just going to be a guilty, sad person all your life. And how's anyone going to believe a gospel that says, "Oh, you're so sad. You're so guilty. That isn't what we want. We want freedom from that. So Jesus said, repent and believe. And believing is that by one man's righteousness, many will be made righteous. Jesus obeyed God. He did not disobey. He went even to the cross. His life paid for every sin that's ever committed, that ever will be committed. And all we need to do is get on board where that forgiveness is, where the righteousness is. And the righteousness is not in a version of the Bible or a denomination. It is not in your acts and works. It is in being in Christ. Get on board in Christ. You passed from death to life, darkness to light. You are in Christ. That's what Ephesians teaches. We are in Christ. We are on board. And I just appeal to you at the beginning of the new year with this simple presentation of the good news. Get on board. And if you've been hesitant, or if you've kind of started walking down the corridor to the end door to jump off because it's got too much for you, you won't do that. Not if you're a real Christian. Even if we get tempted. Because you know that once you're out there, there's nothing. Just a terror. But on board is everything, because you're safe with God, and that train is going places, and there's no one, King Pyongyang, whatever his name is, and Donald Trump, or what's the president of US the EU called? Juncker. Yeah, he can't. Yeah, or Macron or May or any of these people, they cannot do a thing to alter where that train is going. Because Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Is God going to deny the Lord Jesus' answer to that prayer? We're going to see his kingdom on earth. We are going to see a reign of Christ on earth. We're going to see the Israeli nation put right and godly and honouring the Messiah. We're going to see things very different to now. And we're on that train that's proceeding for that. As far as I'm concerned, we come with Jesus to reign with him. So there's something got to happen before he actually starts his reign on earth. Some call it the rapture. It says, don't mourn like the world mourns. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Do you know these words? We shall be called up with clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then the end, or the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning, whatever you like, the reign of Christ comes. Because he prayed that, and he asked you to pray that, and me to pray that. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, in me. And I appeal to you that if you've started to feel challenged by the Holy Spirit and sad about your sin, that you come to realize that sin is washed away. That is not an issue with God. The issue is now your obedience, to be on board, to be letting him take you in the direction we're all going, to get on board. So people, get ready. I'm sure you have. But then get on board. Thank you for listening. We're going to worship, share bread and wine.